Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
All right, that's not what was supposed to play. Let's try this one. It appears that it's going to go to Antti Niemi, at least at this point. I guess it's possible that he could play a game in his homeland over the weekend against the Panthers, but I'd advise against it.
Jeez, I'm an idiot!
Especially if the Blackhawks lose on Friday.
You dumbass.
Well, there you go. I'm not cutting it anymore. I'm old news, and my new show sucks. Hi, I'm Chris Block. Nice to meet you.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
Dead air moments.
Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
You know, I want to go back to something there real quick. Go all the way back. Think back now to the part of that open where John McDonough says, we're happy with Dennis Vard as our head coach. Now, I think this is what, like the 15th show that we've done, I want to say? 15th? Maybe I'm wrong. But that's been played for 15 weeks now. And I keep meaning to bring this up, but the reason why that's in there and the significance of that clip in the intro and sort of like that John McDonough made that snippet was made and recorded 5 days before he fired Dennis Savard last year. Now, there are many other, things that we could cut up and we could put in the open that John McDonough said, and then he's turned out to be a flat-out liar. But I guess my question to you, Superstar, is there an executive, a sports executive in Chicago? Because there's plenty throughout the land, but in Chicago, is there a sports executive that is a bigger lying sack of shit than John McDonough?
No. Simple answer, no. I don't think anybody in the city has any big love for any of the McCaskies. As far as a lying piece of shit, no.
Now, don't get me wrong, because like as someone who follows sports and will follow hockey and sort of dissect it and analyze it and sort of ring it around and then see what comes out, I'm a fan of business, and this is a topic that I've been on for years and years now. Before John McDonough ever decided to come over to the West Side Hockey Club, I've been on this for years, what the Blackhawks should do, and things that they could do to capitalize off the minimal audience that they had, and just ideas of ways to make money. I'm a fan of making money, and if the Blackhawks are making money, I don't resent it. I think it's great. As long as they put a good amount of it back into the club, the amenities, you know, things that the fans can enjoy. As long as they're doing that too, I don't care if they're taking home big paychecks and Rocky Wirtz is, you know, I mean, he makes more money in the other ends of the business than he could, you know, he doesn't care about this, you know. I mean, Rocky Wirtz owning the Chicago Blackhawks is about Rocky Wirtz, his legacy, his personal, you know, his public persona in, you know, Chicago. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with winning championships or carrying on the family. It's about Rocky Wirtz being a you know, a media celebrity here in Chicago. That's what it's about. It's about him having a legacy. It's about how that he built Wirtz Corp for his father, you know, and that built it, but he sustained it, and he made it bigger than it ever was, and nobody knew who the hell, who the hell Rocky Wirtz was. You know, he was a name that you may have heard, but, you know, he didn't have a legacy. And his father dropped dead. He hated his brother, and what better could Rocky Wirtz do? You know, how better could he get off than to stomp on his brother and, you know, take this thing and do, you know, I mean, things the right way, become a hero, and then, you know, now march on towards the ultimate goal, which is to bring a Stanley Cup to Chicago. You know, he could retire at that point, you know, and he'll just be, you know, celebrated till the end of time. You know, and that's what this is about. It's not about anything else. But John McDonough himself, I mean, there's no more two-faced, just disingenuous jerk-off in Chicago. And this comes from, like, you know, I've talked to people that worked for him, people that have been fired, no longer work for him, or were, you know, sort of phased out, not welcomed back. People that are there now that'll tell you, you know, if you get them to sort of, you know, drop their guard a little bit, they'll tell you what goes on in there. And he's not a pleasant man. And I think I'm a fan of what he does, you know, business-wise. And, you know, but just, I mean, it bothers me because he could just run the business the way that he's running it and just stand up and say, you know what, this is the way it is, this is what I'm doing, and, you know, if you don't like it, I don't care, you know, because this is the right way. But he's afraid to do that. I mean, he's afraid to stand up and, you know, when he's asked a question like, are you meddling with the hockey club? And he says, no, that's ridiculous. Well, no, your answer is ridiculous because, of course, you're meddling with the hockey club. He's a guy who's hockey stupid who is meddling with the hockey club because he thinks now that he got a crash course and because he comes from a sport, you know, that he believes, you know, is far superior to hockey, that he knows something about winning championships and how great organizations are run and how they're led to, you know, the proverbial promised land. I mean, get a hold of yourself, pal. You ran the Chicago Cubs, and you had great players, you had great seasons, and you never won a damn thing. You know, I don't know. As you can see, I'm in quite a mood, and remember, I got a feeling we're going to piss a lot of people off tonight. But that's
I think him coming over from the Cubs to the Blackhawks. Just look at the timing. And you know, who was on the team when he came over? And, I mean, did he build this team? How much did he really have to do with the success of last year? Or was it, hey, this team's on the rise, I'm jumping ship and making a bigger name for myself as making the Blackhawks another stepping stone job?
Can you hold that thought? Can I welcome the people in?
You can welcome the people in.
Exactly. Hello there again, everybody. Welcome to the Third Man in Radio. I am the prestigitator of prickliness. I am Chris Block, and alongside is he is here this week. He's not on recordophone. He is our good friend and co-host, the Superstar. How are you doing tonight, Superstar?
I'm well, and I don't even want to know if I want the answer. How are you?
We'll get to that. It is the Third Man in Radio here on this Tuesday night. We're back on Tuesdays a whole lot later than we're supposed to be, and maybe we'll get an answer on that one in a second. It's Tuesday night, October 6, 2009. It is 9:39 here in Chicago. Normally, we'd be off the air by now. It would be all done. After hours, Bob Dylan would have sung us out, and Yeah, I don't know what you would be doing at this point. I know what I would be doing. I'd be getting back to work. But we started a little bit late tonight as per Superstar's request. And do I even want to know?
No, it's just some family obligations that we had to take care of, and you know, we're here now.
All right, don't let it happen again. Okay, so, all right. So you want to talk? You want to talk about like how much did he have to do with the actual on ice, status or position of the Blackhawks? Why don't you continue what you were going on right there?
Well. You know, before we welcomed in the people, my thought was it was nice timing on his part to come over to the Hawks. When you look at it, they were on the upswing. They weren't the team that they are now or even halfway through last year, but they were definitely a team on the, you know, upward swing. And he jumped ship from the Cubs. And my question to you, Block, is, I mean, is this a stepping stone? How much did he have to do with bringing the club to where it is today on the ice and in the business sense?
As far as the on ice product, I don't think there's a single thing to this date. It's arguable, but I don't think there's a single thing to this point that you could point to and say, well, I mean, he had a hand in this, and this is, you know, a reason why the Blackhawks are where they are today. I mean, let's go back to before the lost season of 2004-2005 and the strategy, albeit a very unpopular one at the time, very controversial, the strategy of Bill Wirtz. And Bill Wirtz, because he was so involved on the owner's side and protective and looking out for the owner's best interest, because he knew that he had a Gates receipt sport, and you know, the players and the agents and the owners and general managers alike. I mean, when you get into the summer and it gets very competitive, you start dishing out money, and you don't want this guy going over here, you want him coming to you, so you've got to overpay, you've got to outbid. Things get out of hand naturally. I mean, there's almost nothing you can do in sports for these things to get out of hand. I mean, they just do. But he saw what was coming. He knew that the owners were going to take a stand, so he cut the line, and he prepared for no hockey, and he just cut it. I mean, he cut everybody, and he prepared to have the least amount of contracts as he could have on that 2004-2005. So when he came out on the other end of it, one of two things were going to happen: either the Blackhawks were going to be so bad that they were going to be, restacking themselves in drafts because they were going to, be picking up high every season, or they'd come out and they'd be poised to start bidding along the lines of what the new salary structures were going to be, and within the confines of the salary cap, which Bill Wirtz knew, and most of every owner knew. I mean, that was the goal, and that, the NHL wasn't accepting less. So, I mean, he prepared for that, and he won't get any credit for it posthumously. I mean, no one will ever want to give Bill Wirtz credit for anything that is going on with the Blackhawks right now. But it is the very reason the Blackhawks have the two best players on their team, and that's Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And if he didn't do what he did, and then Dale Talon didn't come in and make some wrong moves with, the money that Bill Wirtz did give him to spend, because Bill Wirtz did spend money coming out of the lockout. He did promise that, and he did do it. It wasn't spent wisely in some cases, in most cases. I think the Hobby Boulin thing was an exception, even though Hobby Boulin played, behind some bad teams. And, he just has this thing that he's carried around his entire career now where, he's his best when, he's at the end of his contract. And most players are. But he has, it's like this thing where, he has injury issues, and, because he has injury issues and he's the best goalie on his team, his team falters, and then when he comes back, he can't overcome it by himself. This past season, he still had injury issues, but the Blackhawks went out and got a 1A goalie in Cristobal Huey, who was able to, you know, almost match what Hobby Bullen was doing. That was the difference between every other Nikolai Hobby Bullen season in Chicago and last season. It was because he had a better team in front of him, but he also had someone to back him up and hold fort while he got himself right to come back and play. But it's the foundation was built by what Bill Wirtz, you know, and Bob Pulford decided to do, what Bill Wirtz decided to do, which is just strip his team bare and not care what the ramifications were. And then you had an inexperienced guy in Dale Talon who came in his first year and didn't understand what the rule changes were going to be. You know, it's not that Dale Talon's one major fault as a general manager was not recognizing what the rule changes were going to lead to. And in hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened to the Blackhawks because they ended up with Toews and Kane. Because if he would have understood and he would have spent that money more wisely, the Blackhawks are probably, I mean, what are the Blackhawks today? They're probably they're Toronto Maple Leafs. They're the Nashville Predators. They're the Los Angeles Kings, you know, because they don't draft third and fourth and first all those years in a row. So that's the reason why the Blackhawks are where they are today, is because they were, you know, they stripped themselves bare prior to the lockout. They made bad decisions, and they were a awful team coming out of the lockout for 2 years in a row. Just horrible. They got really lucky on the Kane pick. They got really lucky on the Kane pick, but they got it. And I mean, Dale Talon and his staff drafted so well, and now here they are. And then Rocky Wirtz comes in and says, no, we've got to change the way that people look at us. I'm going to give you all this money. Go out and spend it. So John McDonough says, okay, what Rocky says is, Dale, we're going to give you all this money. Go out and spend it. I mean, that's why Cristobal Huey is on this team, because Dale Talon had to go out and get the two most high-profile free agents in the positions that the Blackhawks had the most need. And coming out of 2007-2008, that was, no matter what anybody thinks of Nikolai Hobby-Bullen after last season, that was goaltender, because Nikolai Hobby-Bullen was a very unpopular goaltender with a large segment of the Blackhawks fandom coming out of 2007-2008. It was goaltender. You know, people were sort of fed up with his act, and it was puck-moving defenseman, power play defenseman. You know, guy who could set the pace. I mean, so they went out and did that. But that's not something that John McDonough did. And then this past year, if you believe a lot of the scuttle, it was a power play between Dale Talon and John McDonough, and more likely John McDonough listening to Scotty Bowman is what it is. And that, you know, it was Hossa over Hadlett. So I think that's the one thing that you can look at now. If that thing works out, then, yeah, I mean, John McDonough, you know, listening to Scotty Bowman, and probably Stan as well, then, yeah, I mean, maybe you can give him some credit for the on-ice stuff. But he gets no credit for the on-ice stuff. And without the on-ice stuff, his histrionics, I mean, outside of that, don't mean anything. So, I mean, he's a lucky guy, and he's a smart guy, and this, like I've always said, this is a stepping stone position for him. He knew when the time was right. You know, he saw a Cubs team that was diving into uncertainty, in many, many ways, management ways, ownership ways, on the field, and he saw this team on the other side of the town that had nowhere to go but up. And they did have, you know, and John McDonough said so himself. He called people that he knew that, you know, understood and knew the game of hockey, and he consulted them before he went. You know, it's not like he was just like, oh, you know, I just need to change a scenery. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He's a very smart man. But as far as, like, the on-ice stuff, no. I think his influences that come into play are his business relationships in Chicago. I mean, the business relationship are what you see immediately, whether it's you turn on a game, whether you go to the United Center, you pick up a program. Any Cubs fan would know this. You know, you see, I mean, all these sponsors, I mean, they're like sponsors. And, you know, and it's
I mean, maybe some of those sponsors were around before with the Blackhawks. You know, Chevy's one that's sort of been in and out. But, now it's like these people are prominent. And up top, I can't, when you see, the television shows, just how quickly they jumped on GM, both radio and television. I don't think they could have done that without John McDonough. He deserves a lot of credit, but not for anything that goes on the ice. And if it wasn't for the on-ice product, maybe they don't get on GM. But I still think the reason why they're on GM is because of him.
Yeah, well, and to a casual fan or for the generation that was kind of lost with the previous ownership and management, it's nice to see them going out and getting high-priced free agents, spending money. But like you brought up, is what they're doing, are they spending money wisely? I mean, we all know they're going to be in some cap issues coming up. But, have they spent it more wisely than, well, obviously they have than in the previous years. But as it relates to today's NHL, what do you think about that?
Well, we've got people emailing and texting in. You want to hear what they have to say?
Sure.
All right. Well, this person here says, McDork is a dickhead. All right. I'm just telling you what the people are saying. I don't know that you – do you agree with that, Superstar?
I don't know if I agree with it. I don't know if I disagree with it either, though. Is he the most likable guy? No.
Superstar,
but,
I don't think whether you agree with it or not is going to hurt you in any way. It's like you're on this show, and just the fact that you're on this show has buried you alive in John McDonough's.
Yeah, we were talking about before, you have to look at it as a fan of on-ice products, or you have to, separate it and look at it as a business standpoint. From a business standpoint, you have to admire what he's done with this team, but with the on-ice product, I think it's still up in the air.
I do. I do. You can separate them, but they also, certain ways, in a lot of ways, they go hand in hand. But no, as a way that he's sort of, he's shipped that office into shape. And even people that don't work there anymore will say that it needed to be done. And that's probably his biggest accomplishment coming in, is not only increasing the size of it and diversity is kind of the wrong way to say it, but it's made it so much bigger. And the roles of the people in there, it's not one person doing three different jobs. It's just him coming in and he's a micromanager, but that's what needed to be done there. He was the exact type of person that needed to come in and take this from, a corner grocery store to, a Super Target. And that's actually a good way of explaining what he's done.
Well, yeah, and from all accounts, they didn't even have a receptionist.
No, well, people answered the phone if you called, receptionist, no, he's done a great job in that aspect. But when you start throwing praise in his way for what's going on the ice and the resurgence of the Blackhawks, I think that should go to Rocky just in the sense that Rocky's the one that's, cutting the checks. And, Brian Campbell is an enormous part of what happened last year in the resurgence of the Blackhawks. Just that signing alone sparks, Marian Hossa's eyes. And if the Blackhawks don't sign Brian Campbell to that contract last year, when Marian Hossa and his agent are sitting down, on June 30th of 2009, and they're like, which teams do you want to go to? Well, before, the official phone calls can happen, they're going to narrow it down in their minds.
And who are they thinking about? They're thinking about the teams that regularly go out and spend a ton of dough on free agents, or the best free agents. If the Blackhawks wouldn't have gone out and signed Brian Campbell, on July 1st when the phones start ringing, when Chicago calls, they'll pick it up and say, yeah, okay, we'll call you back. And then they're working on other things with other teams that are, you know, they know are serious. But when the Blackhawks signed Brian Campbell that contract, and then they call on July 1st the following summer for Marian Hossa, Rich Winter says, okay, we got the Blackhawks on the phone. Let's talk to these guys, because these guys are nuts. You know, I mean, they want to get something done, and they're willing to pay for it. You know, so if Rocky Wirtz doesn't spend the money he did on Brian Campbell, it's quite possible that Marian Hossa is not a Blackhawk today. And I would say the odds are that he wouldn't be. And there's a couple different reasons for it. One of them is because of the money thing, and the intentions behind that, and the, you know, the implications, and the, you know, of, you know, what you mean by that as an organization. Are you serious about winning? You know, that's an indication that you're serious about winning, but also Brian Campbell's effects on the ice and what the positive effects that he had on the team, and how much better of a quicker of a team he made them, in, you know, transition-wise, because that's where the Blackhawks hurt teams last year. They hurt it with their quickness, their transition game, and just flat-out getting the puck out of their own end quicker than they have in a decade and a half. You know, that, I mean, that's the reason why the Blackhawks were as good as they were last year, and Brian Campbell deserves a lot of credit for it. He might not get it from anybody, but he's going to get it from me, and, I think that's pretty good.
Agreed, 100%.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. I mean, I don't know that anybody's listening. We did a show after the show was supposed to be on the air tonight. So I'm sure we have some people listening. Phone number to call in, 347-857-3781, 347-857-3781. If nobody wants to talk or call in, we could just F around for, you know, the next however long. But we could play stuff like this. I got all sorts of new goodies on the board this week.
Mr. Burgundy, you have a massive erection.
Stay tuned. It could get worse. I do want to say this. You know what? Let's talk about our sponsors. Gotta give it up to the sponsors. Tonight's show, The Third Man in Radio, is brought to you by Pretty Girls Massage Spa. Yeah. 4906 West Irving Park Road on the northwest side of Chicago. Pretty Girls Massage Spa. Call them up. Get yourself an appointment. You could also walk in. They like that too. 773-545-9588. 773-545-9588. Pretty Girls Massage Spa. And tell them the superstar sent you. And also Chicago's Pizza and Pasta, with 5 locations in Chicago, including, there's one on Lincoln Avenue, 3114 North Lincoln Avenue, 3006 North Sheffield, 1919 West Montrose, 4520 West Irving Park Road, and 3413 North Clark. Any one of those will work. But you could also check chicagos-pizza.com for the nearest one near you. Specials on the menu, my favorites anyway, any of the gourmet sandwiches, the Caesar wrap, of course, any panini, and, of course, the original stuffed pizza. I do believe, and I will say this, it is the best pizza in Chicago. Chicagos-pizza.com. Check it out, and tell them Block sent you. I don't know how much that'll get you.
Yeah, you may pay double.
Yeah. You know, I was tooling around on the internet, I think it was Friday night, and I want to see if I could find it here. This is like an old thing, but I did want to play it, and I got to talk about something. So let's listen to this, and think what comes to your mind when you think of this, or when you listen to it.
What's going to happen is that you jerk off the ball. Almost want to let this guy here jam you, and if it comes, it comes.
What is that from? I know I've heard that before.
I don't know. I think it's like a college basketball game.
You want to hear it again?
I do.
I think people are a little startled by that. All right. Well, you know, because no one's listening to this. Not tonight, anyway. All right.
What's going to happen is that you jerk off the ball. I almost want to let this guy here jam you, and if it comes, it comes.
So last night on HockeyNight.com, their Hockey Night podcast, their special guest was Mike and Mark Kiley from Chicago Now, Blackhawks Confidential. You know the whole deal. You've been there, right, Superstar?
I've been.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't been there? But anyway, so Mike Kiley, who's a veteran sports scribe here in Chicago for many years, followed the Blackhawks, you know, wrote about them. He's on there telling all these stories, and I haven't heard, like, the first 45 minutes of it. But they went longer than we've ever gone. Just telling stories, talking about Blackhawks, drinking stories, calling people names, outing people. And, you know, and then Mike Kiley goes, they start talking about this show. And Mike Kiley says, like, the last time he listened to this show, he heard me tell the story about, you know, the bite story. And he was appalled by it, and he had to turn it off. I don't know why I feel so proud.
Yeah, I was about to say, are you more proud or you know, saddened by that news?
I'm not saddened by it at all. I think it's great. But we should tell the people, anybody listening to this, next week it's a very special edition of the Third Man In Radio. Hockey Night decided this week, the Forklift and CT decided to book themselves on our show.
It's not their show, but they're on this show?
It's not their show, but they're going to be on this show next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Hockey Night's podcast is invading our little area here.
Oh, we like those guys. It's all right.
Yeah, and you're gonna hear plenty of this kind of stuff.
You ever go to La Chitzin on April 20th? We were completely unaware of it.
Yeah, so I guess what this is like. See, now here's how dumb I am, right? Like, I'm supposed to be the guy that knows everything about the Chicago Blackhawks, right? Not everything, but a lot of stuff.
Well, you
would think.
Yeah. A quasi-expert.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you'd think that I knew something. You know, I got a blog, or I used to have a blog. At one time, before I made that horrid decision to come to Blog You In, I had a blog before that happened. You know, I've been around for a while. You know, I've been at pretty much every Blackhawks game for the last, I don't know how many years, decades. You know, so you'd think I know a little bit about it. So they said, Forklift sends me an email yesterday saying, like, you want to do a combined, you know, TTMI radio podcast next week. And I thought to myself, well, since I'm not producing my show, you know, maybe he should. So I'm like, all right, you know, that's a good idea. We'll do that. So I'm like, okay, and I'm thinking to myself, like, why does he want to do our show next week? And then I'm listening to their show last night, and they say they're going to go dark on Monday night. And then that threw me off even more. I'm like, why would they go dark? Why don't they just do their show and then come and do our show? And that would be a great way to promote doing our show, is to do their show on Monday night, right? And this is, okay, now here's why I'm not that bright. I totally forgot that the Blackhawks are playing the Calgary Flames next Monday night at the United Center.
And they didn't want to do the show from the UC? I mean, what's up with that?
I don't know if they're going to be at the UC. I don't know if they just – I don't know. I don't know these things. But I know that they're going dark. So here's the deal. Basically, they want to do radio next week, but they don't want to go head up against us. They're intimidated by going up against the Third Man In Radio. Especially intimidated when we actually start when we're supposed to start. And we have something interesting to say. Neither of those are happening this week.
Yeah, 50-50 chance on either of those.
Yeah, there's a 50-50 chance we'll start on time, and there's a 50-50 chance we'll be entertaining whatsoever. But I think it's just the fact that, like, it's like the unknown of what you're going to get here that keeps bringing people back.
Well, it is definitely an unknown what you're going to get week to week here.
And that same theory would apply to why anybody just keeps coming to surfinin.com. I checked my stats, Sunday for the first time in over a month, and I was shocked how many people still click on that fucking thing every day.
The question is, do you still click on it?
I never go to it. I hate that thing. Why?
We're going to have to rename the show. I mean, no longer the third man in.
No, I own the third man in. I am the third man in. I mean, you can't take that away from me. I mean, I could go somewhere else and be the third man in. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to that fucking website. If you want to go there, I think the best thing about it is you can go there and, like, there's, you know, there's newsreels and then there's, like, all these links to, like, these other sites. And you can listen to the radio show there. You can listen to every radio show there. So maybe that's why people are still coming. I don't know. I would assume that's why they're still coming. Because, like, I told everybody last week, I'm not posting there anymore. Fuck it. Like, what's the point in making money for these assholes?
I don't know the ins and outs of your dealings with them, but, I'll agree with whatever you say on that.
Should we do a scoreboard update?
You want to do a scoreboard update? That'd be pretty cool. I don't know. We've never done a scoreboard update.
No, we haven't. Well, let me refresh my screen here. I don't know that this is totally live.
Yeah, don't keep old scores out. That's kind of freaking pointless.
It is live. Let's see here. With 12:19 to go in the second period, Anaheim has got a 2-0 lead over Minnesota. Montreal, who... while I was on the treadmill tonight, the one good thing about you being late tonight, having to push back the show an hour and a half, was that I got a run in. And Montreal, TSN was saying, Montreal hasn't won in Calgary in years and years and years. Well, they're leading 2-1, 8:04 left in the second, goals by Scotty Gomez and Guillaume Latendresse. Eric Nystrom for Calgary. Yaroslav Halak is in goal for the Canadiens. Brendan Morrow finally scored for Dallas. That's good for my fantasy team. Ottawa, there was a strange thing in the Ottawa game tonight. Milan Mihalik got pulled down by Luke Shen. He got hooked, and the arm went up. I forget who it was. Maybe it been Stephen Walcom. I forget who it was. I didn't have a sound. I had my headphones on, so I couldn't hear. But he got pulled down, and then he got a high stick. So Luke Shen got the penalty shot for the hook, and then he got 2 minutes for high sticking. At least I believe that's how it went. Well, Milan Mihalik was too injured to do the penalty shot, so Daniel Alfredson got it instead. And he goes in on Jonas Gustafsson and just roofs it on the backhand, top shelf. That ended up putting Ottawa up 2-0. They won 2-1 as Matty Stajan scored on the power play in the third. But that's how that one went. Sergei Samsonov beat Tampa Bay in the shootout tonight, so that's Blackhawks related.
Black, what was the score you gave in the Calgary Montreal game?
2-1 Montreal.
All right, you're a little behind. Let me give you an update. With 10:46 to go in the third. Calgary leads 4-3. Nystrom with a hat trick for the Flames.
Blame NHL.com. I don't know why I know I go to this stupid site.
I'm
as bad as the third man in.
Yeah, with 17:07 to go to the third, Anaheim over the Wild, 3-0. Stars Edmonton tied at 3 at the end of the second. And with 3:08 to go, the Kings over the Sharks, 1-0.
All right, well, Sergei Samsonov still beat Tampa Bay in the shootout. Ottawa still beat Toronto 2-1, And the Flyers in an amazing game. I wish I could have seen it, but I have DirecTV and I don't. I got fucking no verses. 6-5 Philly. Ovechkin scored twice. Semin had an unbelievable goal in that game. Mike Richards had a hat trick. That's good for me in one of my many fantasy leagues. And Ray Emery with the big win. So,
yeah, that's good for my fantasy team.
Yeah, Jose Theodore got pulled in the game. So that's, I believe that's probably about the beginning of the end for Jose Theodore, I believe.
You know, that's probably going to be the most interesting segment of this entire show.
Oh, no, I'm sure there will be people tomorrow that will be interested in some of the stuff that we said today.
As William Blake wrote, the cutworm forgives the plow.
But let me just quote the late, great Colonel Sanders, who said, I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
So, anything you'd like to contribute to the show this week?
Nah, I'll pass.
What did you think of last week's show? Last week, got a lot of great reaction off last week's show. You were not here, of course, but you sent in your comments pre-recorded to us. And
I was not here, but I was here. I thought last week's show was great. I really did. I told Wadzy that last week that I thought you guys were very performed very well last week.
Well, thank you. That's awfully nice.
I was sad to miss the week. But I know anytime I leave, I have the WAD to come in and fill in for me.
That little prick.
Well, you said it, not me.
All right, so the Blackhawks played two games in Finland over the weekend. Your impressions of those games, Superstar?
You know what? Because of the time frame, I didn't catch a lot of it. Of either game, I did see the first period and a half of the first game, and I thought they looked awful.
Do you have a tape recorder?
Do I have a tape recorder?
Yeah.
Well, I got the TiVo.
Oh, the TiVo, like, could you record it and maybe watch it later?
Yeah, the whole time, I missed it, all right? From what I saw the opening game, which you were bitching that was on Versus, but was on Comcast Sportsnet.
On my schedule, that the NHL and the Blackhawks, well, the Blackhawks don't know they sent it to me, but they sent it to me, and the NHL sent me, it said Versus. Why is it my fault that when the Blackhawks and the NHL send me a schedule and it says Versus on the Friday game, why is it my fault that I think that I can't watch it because I got DirecTV? Why is that my fault?
Well, it's not your fault. But I did catch the game on Comcast Sportsnet, and I thought the first period and half they looked awful. Played a lot better as the game went on, but it was one of those games you just never really felt confident that they were going to pull through there. At least I didn't. I did not see the 4-0 win, but the first period and a half of the opener, they looked out of sync. They looked slow to the puck. Their passing was not crisp, and it would have gotten out of hand, but UA played really well in that first period and a half. That's their kind of shining star of that game from what I saw. Other than that, didn't see the rest, so, and obviously you didn't either.
Well, I didn't see Friday's game because, you know, as like, apparently I am a doofus, then you look like a doofus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, sometimes when I'm on the CT, I look like a doofus. Apparently I'm a doofus. Like I went along with the schedule that the NHL and someone from the Blackhawks who was nice enough to send me one sent me, and it's Versus. So I went along with them. I would figure that if anybody knew, it would be those two entities. And what are you going to do? So, no, I didn't see Friday, but I did see all the game on Saturday. And like I was talking about last week, I mean, Patrick Kane, if there's a better player in the Central Division right now, and I was able to catch two periods of the Columbus Vancouver game last night, and Rick Nash is the other guy. But those two guys right now are the best players in the Central Division, Patrick Kane and Rick Nash. I mean, Patrick Kane has started this season like he, you know, has a purpose, and if it's because people dared to question him in the off season and called him names and you know, if that's what it is, then fine, whatever. But he's got a purpose, and he's skating with one, and he's just out there. He can do whatever he wants at any time, and he's taking, you know, he's taking advantage of it. He knows it too. You can see it. I mean, it's coming with every game that I see him out there. He's developing more and more of a swagger, and as long as that's just is contained on the ice, and you know, not off of it. I mean, look out. Patrick Kane turns 21 in a little over a month. You know, but I mean, if he can contain that to the ice surface, he's gonna have a 110 point season. I mean, he's just so damn good right now. It's hard not to salivate when you watch him play, because it's amazing. I mean, we haven't seen a guy like this. I mean, you have to go back to a player that just makes you, like, appreciate how good he is. I mean, you have to go back to Roenick. When Roenick, you know, in his first 5 years here, where he'd just take the puck, he was the fastest player on the team. He would run guys over. He's going directly to the net. He's flying around, you know, putting guys into the glass. I mean, that was – it's a different kind of player, but that's exactly the way you feel when you watch him, is you can't take your eyes off the guy because you think, like, he's about to do something special. And with Kane, it's a little bit more subdued as far as the speed that he plays the game at. But it's, you know, if you love the game and you understand the game and you just sort of marvel at the way the speed of the game, at the pace of the game happens, and how players are able to thread the needle and get passes through spaces that aren't even there when they release the pass, but they just anticipate that it's about to be there. I mean, that's what this kid does, and he's amazing at it. He's a little dickhead, but he's an amazing hockey player. And I don't know. I mean, more than anything, that's what I've gotten out of it. I made fun of myself at the top of the show, but I still, all you Antti-Niemi fans, like, please stop it. I mean, this guy is no good. I don't care if he got a shutout. You know, what's the best way to compare it to? The best way to compare it to would be San Jose last year with Brian Boucher. And this is something that I've talked about before, in that the strategy that coaches will use when they sort of temper their team and they see where they're at, you know, on a given night, and what the guy's mood is, maybe how they played the night before. Are they starting to take too many chances? Are they getting a little too big about themselves? Are they just a little too comfortable with their skin? What a head coach will come in and do is say, you know, all right, guys, I don't care that we're playing the Detroit Red Wings tonight, or I don't care that we're playing a team that we have a lot of trouble with. We're gonna play our backup tonight. And it's not that the players in the room don't like that guy. It's not that the players in the room, don't respect him as a player. But when you take your number one guy and put him on the bench, and you plan it that way, everybody in the room starts to look around at each other and they're like, wait a minute, you know, well, if we want to win tonight, we'd better, you know, just let's refocus here. You know, we've got to do the little things. We've got to come back and out and help. You know, especially if you do like that backup. You know, if everybody in the room likes that backup, and Brian Boucher is a very likable person, very, very popular in every locker room that he's ever been in. So you want that guy to succeed. You know that he's not as good as Evgeny Nabokov, but you want him to succeed because he's a likable person. He's your teammate. He's your brother. and you want him to win. So you refocus yourself. You know now you're doing the little things. Now you're coming back. Now if you're Chris Versteeg, or we'll talk about it with the Blackhawks now. If you're Chris Versteeg or you're Dustin Byfuglien, now you're hustling back to help out a little bit more defensively, because not only do you want to beat the opponent, but you want your friend and your teammate to do well too, and you know that he needs a little bit more help than the other guy. And that's what I saw on hearing the game and knowing how it went on Friday and getting recaps of it, and then watching the game on Saturday. You can't tell me that the Blackhawks tried to play the same way on Saturday that they did Friday. They didn't. You know, they held back a little bit more. They were much more cautious. So to say that, Niemi came out and played this game and he didn't. He had an entirely different strategy, and team focused in front of him than they had on Friday. And so it was different. It's not the same. It's not Antti Niemi outplayed Cristobal Huey in Finland. That's nonsense. He got a shutout, but it was more, if you watch that game, it was more of a team shutout than anything. And if you watch Niemi closely, I don't know how he got a shutout. I mean, he's not that good. I mean, he makes you nervous every move he makes. Anytime the puck comes near him, you get twitchy, and he gets twitchy. Before you anoint him or start talking about him being like, all right, if Hue gets two more iffy starts, that's what people are saying now. They're ready to put Niemi in there and make him the guy. It's like, let's wait and see. Let's have him in there, give him his spot. Like, there's no reason to rush him into the net anytime soon. Cristobal Huey is going to get hurt. You know that he's going to slow down. You know that he's going to have bad starts. Let Niemi sit on the bench, watch him, let him get in games every once in a while, and get him used to it. And like we just said, these instances where he does come into the game, and the Blackhawks themselves are like, well, we've got to bear down tonight because we don't really know what this guy's going to give us. And they see it, too. They see how twitchy he is, and they get twitchy when they watch him, play the puck. So let it naturally develop. Hue is your number one. Give him a chance to be your number one. I don't think he's going to win a Stanley Cup here either, but, you made this commitment to this guy, and give him the opportunity. He's a professional. He's one of the better goaltenders in the league. He's in the top 30. He's not in the bottom 30. He's in the top 30. He deserves to be a starter somewhere. Unfortunately, he's a starter here. But give him that opportunity, because he's a much better option than either of the guys behind him as of today. It's a natural progression. And then once you're forced to, then give Niemi, if this is his moment in the sun and it ends up being Crawford, then bring that guy along and let it just naturally happen. I don't think you can force anything upon Niemi, because you don't know his body of work. You don't know what it is, and if you bring him in, or give him too many games early, you could ruin him. Maybe he is, something special. Giving him too much time early, I think you're just risking, ruining it altogether. There's nothing wrong with a backup goalie sitting on the bench and portraying a backup goalie, because that's what he is. And then as time progresses and those opportunities arise, those are his moments to prove that he can be more than that. And that's how most goalies, earn their keep. And that's how Steve Mason did it last year. I mean, it was very quick, that Ken Hitchcock, realized what he had. But, it's how it happens.
Well, what are the chances? I mean, obviously, we haven't really seen, okay, you have to shut up, big deal. But what are the chances that he comes in and through his course of work and his progression, could be anywhere close to a Steve Mason or anywhere close to becoming a starter down the line in this league.
He's not going to be. He's bad. But I'm just saying, like, people that watch that and they're like, oh, shutout, he's really good. You know, bite me.
It's one game. One game is not a body of work that you can anoint somebody, this is our backup goalie for the year off this one game.
I watched him all last season, and I saw him in preseason, and yeah, I saw that game the other night. There wasn't one puck that got by him, but it didn't feel like a shutout to me. You know, he didn't look dominant, and it's like, okay, you know, that's nice, but you know, let's see what when the next time you come around, let's see what you got, and maybe next time around is Monday against Calgary. I don't know. I mean, there'll be a next time within the next 2 weeks, but like I said, just let it naturally develop and give Huey Huey deserves the opportunity to lose what he has, and maybe he will, but I don't think you're doing your entire organization a disservice to say, okay, he got a shutout, so let's at least split time between these two. Let's go every other game like we did last year. Every other game doesn't help you get Cristobal Huey to the point where you need him to be, which is an elite goaltender that's going to, take the reins in March and April and lead you into June. You know, Cristobal Huey needs to start carrying the load. He needs to be an every-game goaltender. You know, he needs to be a 4 or 5 on, 1 off. Not, onesie twosies. I mean, that's not going to work. That he's getting to the point now where if he doesn't become a workhorse now, he has no chance of ever being one. You could argue that it's too late at this point. It's too late in the game, but we'll never know if he's not given it. There's things that we know about Cristobal Huey, and another thing that worries you about the Blackhawks, and we sort of talked about it last week, and we got our first taste of it on Friday, is that as a Blackhawks fan, you have to be concerned about these points, in overtime and shootouts. Because, it's clear that the Blackhawks are going to lose more shootouts than they're going to win if Cristobal Huey's in the net. Because the book on him is clear. Deke, go upstairs. And it's going to work every time. As long as you have good aim, it's going to work. So, you better win these regulation.
Well, yeah, and those are wasted points. I mean, if you look at how many points that you could give up in shootouts and overtime losses, that could be the difference. Well, I mean, between home ice advantage and falling to the 7-8 spot. When a conference is as tight as it is. That's really the difference in home ice and even possibly even making the playoffs.
All right. Anything else that stood out in anything that you did happen to watch over the weekend?
No. Not at all.
Well, Dustin Byfuglien scored in both games, the big buffer. They have to work. They absolutely, I will take everything good I said back about John McDonough if they do not work a Dustin Byfuglien Big Mac special for this season. I've been campaigning for this for 3 years now. Dustin Byfuglien and the Big Mac work, hand in hand. They've got to get the Big Mac Dustin McByfuglien special.
I could see that. I could see that. Although now every time I have a Big Mac, all I'm going to think about is that big dork.
I don't know. He's not a dork. You're kindred spirits, you and that Dustin Byfuglien.
I hate that douchebag.
I know you haven't, but you should share a beer with the guy one time. Maybe you'll think differently.
I don't know. Maybe I would. Still not going to change my mind about his play.
Just be warned, it won't be just one beer.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's like going downstairs with me. Hey, now. Mike Kiley just turned the show off.
Yay!
All right, it's late, and I've got to get some work done. We've been on the air for an hour. Let's see. Next week, we're going to have Forklift and the CT. Or is it the Forklift and CT? I like that.
I don't know, man. I thought it was CT and the Forklift. But
right.
It's not my show, and I'm not on that show.
Yes. It's not their show, but they're going to be on this show next week. They booked themselves. And, you know, we'll have them. We're not doing any you know, extra special. I do have big plans for the show. This is going to be can't-miss radio. Not that any edition of the Third Minute Radio is miss radio. I mean, every edition is can't-miss. But this edition coming up here next week is going to be something special. I guarantee it. Oh, I got an email asking about why I didn't do a mailbag edition over the weekend, like I promised. And I didn't really promise. I just said it was probably going to happen. If I would have promised, I would have done it. But the reason why it didn't happen is because I had a little sickly on Sunday, and it was I had so many things to do, and then I had to work, and by the end of the night, I didn't have the energy. Because you know, I was going to record it on Sunday night, and that was my plan all along. But by the time that came around, it wasn't going to happen. So my new plan, and I'm not going to promise this either, because I'm done promising things to people on the Third Man In. The only thing I can promise is I'll be here every Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And at any time that I do have a committed indie column coming up, I will be in a committed indie. I'll be in there on Monday. The night before.
Like you should have stopped promising people stuff after the newsletter incident.
Well, the newsletter's Blog Human's fault. But I mean, there are a lot of things that went into that. In fact, you know what? You just reminded me. I have to refocus myself. And you know what? Should I promise something?
Do it.
Okay. All right. Should I?
I just got an email.
All right. If this doesn't happen, it's all your fault.
I just got an email that says block promises are bullshit.
All right, well, F you all. You know, I try so hard. No, I will work towards doing the newsletter again because there's no way in hell it would come out Monday. Why don't we shoot for the 19th?
All right, you're promising me a newsletter for October 19th.
I can't promise you anything because I don't know how I'm going to send it to people. I have the list. I mean, the list is pretty substantial, but I don't know how I'm going to send it to people.
Well, what's substantial?
Oh, about 175 emails. I mean, do you want to send out 175 individual emails?
Hell no.
Okay.
Kinkle's that shit. Print it out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sign up and join the thirdmanin.com. $7.99 a month or something. So you can listen to – we should do that. Maybe that's the answer. Well, yeah, that's not the answer. And I would never – I don't think I'd ever do that. But – in fact, I know I'd never do it. I couldn't ask people to pay for this shit. And I wouldn't want to anyway, because then you cut your audience in half, and I don't like cutting things in half. But yeah, okay, all right, I could do that. I could totally do that. But no, if I have all these emails, we could have done them tonight. but I just didn't feel like doing it tonight. And you're here, and if I do emails, like, it's just me talking, and then there's no point in you even being here. That was my backup plan if you didn't show up. But, all right, Friday night probably, because I'm not doing anything on Friday night. I'm having a man's night in, I think. That's well, at least till, like, I don't know, at least till, like, 10 or so. So I can do it for 10. But, yeah, but then we got Forklift in the CT next Tuesday night here, 8 o'clock sharp. Whether you can be here or not, we're going to be here at 8 o'clock with those guys. But your presence has been requested by those guys.
I'll do I'll make all attempts.
Okay. And, I don't know, we can play a couple more things before we go. I got some things up here. I don't know that I've ever played before. Yeah, I don't know where this came from.
What's going to happen is that you jerk off the ball. I almost want to let this guy here jam you, and if it comes, it comes.
Pull my pants down a little bit and show him the Hockey Night logo.
Yeah.
I do the thing with, you know, with the thing.
Well, I am.
Nothing as good as the Hockey Night thong, incidentally, which is the highest quality cotton. Very comfortable. Chris Block endorses it. Chris Block, he said he's never felt fresher after flossing his ass
right.
than with a Hockey Night thong.
Chris Block has said if he didn't have to wash it, he'd never take it off.
That is correct. In fact, he said that he loves it so much he actually turns it inside out to get an extra day's wear out of it. Right now he's like punching his iPod.
Mr. Burgundy, you have a massive erection.
You know, after we go off the air here in a minute, I have to go back and listen. Apparently, you know, I mean, every week it's discussed, but me and a thong is discussed, you know, in the round table with Mike and Mark Kiley, the Forklift in the CT. All talking about me and a thong.
That's disturbing on many, many levels.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll listen to it.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
I'll probably have to refrain from alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, right.
All right. It's a long night. Might as well.
That's not all I got.
Might as well. Well, Superstar, what do you think of tonight's show?
That's awesome.
I'm glad you liked it. All right. Next week, Tuesday, let me get the date right, October 13th, 8 o'clock, a dual program. It'll be us dueling with HockeyNight.com. A dual meet between Chris Block, the Superstar, the Forklift, and the CT. And I'm sure it's going to be the greatest.
It will be. Yeah, it will be our best show ever.
You think so?
I'm predicting. I'm predicting our best show ever.
So two bad radio shows collide and suddenly becomes the greatest thing that has ever been on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm throwing myself out there a little bit. I do think it's going to be the best show we've done.
I promise it will be better than this week's show. I don't know that I'll make as many people mad, and I don't know. I might not be here next week if John McDonough gets a hold of me, but I mean, if I somehow slip out of the United Center on Saturday night or Saturday and Monday, that's shit. I got to do it twice. But yeah, I mean, if I'm here, it'll be a good show. because I've got some, like I said, I've got things going in my head right now, and they're gonna, it's gonna be something else. Do not miss the beginning of next week's show. You're gonna want to be here live, and do not miss it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Can't wait.
Now, see, now, shit, I gotta go get to work. Now, see, I promised something, and now I can't disappoint the people. All right, that's it. I got nothing left to say. I don't have anybody else to insult. So we're gonna go. Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
Promise you're gonna be here at 8 o'clock next week.
I'll do my thing.
Okay. And if you're not, then fuck you. All right. Well, anyway, till next time. This has been Chris Block along with the Superstar, and we are saying, what are we saying? Good night. I'm a